You're listening to The Oddscast, the original UFC betting podcast that's straight to the point. Hosted by leading MMA oddsmaker Nick Kalikas and MMA journalist Brian Heminger, they provide you the absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting, MMAoddsbreaker.com. Don't place your wagers without us.
Welcome to the Combate Cast, presented by BetDSI. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Friday's Combate 43 event, which takes place in Mexicali, Mexico. Nick creates the opening betting odds for Combate events, so he'll break down 8 fights on this card, providing extensive analysis and a pick for those fights after doing film study and research for the event. Combate 43 will air on TV networks Univision, TUDN, and Televisa in Mexico with live streaming of the undercard on Facebook Watch this Friday night. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking things off is a flyweight contest between Santiago Monreal, who is 4-0, and Gabriel Valdez, who is 4-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Outstanding fight card ahead. Make sure you guys definitely tune in to Combate this weekend, this Friday night. It's going to be an awesome night of fights. Getting right into it, I opened up this minus 250, the comeback on Monreal, at plus 190. Right now, looking at the betting market on the Don Best screen, we are currently seeing Valdez down to minus 180, the comeback on Monreal at plus 143. So line margins have tightened up a little bit, more action coming in on the underdog, which I can understand. I mean, this is definitely a very competitive fight. It'll be a good fight because you have two really solid prospects at flyweight, two younger fighters that are on the rise that are getting better fight by fight. This is a really good fight that we're going to see here. In fact, they actually have a matchup as amateurs against each other. And the victory did go to Valdez. He won a close but unanimous decision over Monreal. So these guys have experience against each other, and man, what a fireworks type of matchup it is going to be. We'll start off first with the underdog, everybody coming in Monreal's way, because they're expecting this to be another competitive fight. He's a very talented prospect. He has a complete MMA game. He's really learning still and improving fight by fight. Again, I mean, he's like a sponge. He's only 24 years old, so I love to see that. I mean, I think there's even more upside than Monreal than Valdez here in this spot. So there's, again, a lot of reasons why people are coming in this way. His speed on the feet is pretty quick and nice to watch. I mean, he gets in there fast. He counters on the feet well. He likes to mix in kicks, which is very solid and can be very effective as well. And then he has a pretty solid ground game. He looks for takedowns often, good ground and pound, and he looks for subs. So, again, complete game. And his experience level overall has been okay at this stage. It's not necessarily all cans that he's facing, even as an amateur. So I think at this point, he's more of a threat on the ground at this stage than he is on the feet. But again, I think he could get it done, and he could definitely compete and hang in most cases with anybody he gets in the cage with. He's a talented fighter. Valdez, another solid prospect getting into his kind of resume right now. I mean, he's tough on the feet. He throws with intent. I think he throws a little bit harder. He's really strong on the ground as well. He does look for takedowns. He has a quick double leg shoot that he lands often, and he also has slams. So he likes to control and drop some ground and pound on his opponents, of course, and it's impressive when he does so. I think he will probably win the stand-up exchanges in this fight against Monreal here. I think, again, he's going to be landing the harder shots, and I think if he really doesn't get submitted on the ground against Monreal, I think he probably controls the action. I think he has a better wrestling. He is going to get the takedowns, and he'll probably control it. Now, again, Monreal is going to put up even a harder fight. I think this matchup is going to be even closer than their first fight. But that said, I do believe that Valdez can still control enough of this fight to win on the scorecards. I do expect to go to the cards. Both these guys are tough enough and aware enough to kind of neutralize each other out and not get finished, I believe. So for me, all the signs are indicating that Valdez repeats and gets the job done again and gets the victory here. So I do get it. It's going to be a close fight. It's a dog or pass situation early on. But at this point, as the line drops, I think there's going to be some value opening up on Valdez. So maybe a small bet justified on Valdez, or maybe you look to put Valdez in a parlay at this point as well. So my pick is actually Valdez in what should be a very competitive fight.
Now moving up to the featherweight division, we have Gilberto Santos, who is 4-4. Taking on Carlos Ernesto Ochoa, who was 4-6. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I opened Santos minus 185, the comeback on Ochoa at plus 145. And right now, looking over at the Don Best screen, We are currently seeing Santos minus 145, the comeback on Ochoa at plus 115. So another spot where the underdog did get bet. And this is a spot where I'm surprised a little bit. I thought the public overall, the majority of the early betting action probably would come in on Santos and not Ochoa in this spot. So hats off to you guys, because I think you guys are kind of leaning the right way here. I mean, this is going to be an interesting fight, but I think it's a dog or pass situation. So I'll say that off the rip here. I mean, stylistically, it's and like I said, intriguing. I mean, Santos is 22 years old, so he's young. He's developing. He actually has some length for this weight class at 145 pounds. And so he's a longer fighter. He shows some decent boxing. He's fairly clean and accurate in leg kicks as well. That's what he likes to utilize. But the problem is, for me, as the fight goes, he does definitely start slowing down noticeably. And he does tend to wilt under pressure. He seems to be a little bit more of a front runner. And he gets in trouble as the fight goes on a little bit. He does have a mission game. I mean, that's where it's going to be at with Santos here in this spot. I think that's his path to victory, is possibly getting Ochoa to the ground and utilizing, getting his back and utilizing his submission game that he does have over him. And that's, Ochoa has had some issues in the past. Most of losses have come by submission as well. So his ground defense is a little bit lacking. Now, still back on Santos, though, overall at this point, he's 4-4 as a professional. And he's fought kind of all lower tier competition as well. So he's still developing a lot. And he shows a lot of potential, but I don't think he's just there yet. I think Ochoa is actually more prepared, and he's fought better competition at this point. He is still developing as well. He's only 28 years old, but at this point of his career, he's fought better competition, even though he has more losses. He's 4-6 as a pro, so he's below 500. But again, I think he's more battle tested than Santos is. So I take my hat off. I thought you guys were going to bet Santos out there, but you guys are coming in, I believe, on the right way, because I think Ochoa does not get submitted. He's going to probably win this fight. I mean, he's coming off a big KO win, so that's going to give him some confidence. And he does have some really solid power on the feet with his boxing, and he's pretty accurate as well. I think he's going to get inside, close the distance, obviously, on Santos, and drop some bombs. That's what he wants to do here. So he needs to avoid the submission game, and he probably gets the job done. But that's definitely the concern here. Santos could be losing the fight, and Ochoa makes a mistake, and he gets submitted. So I understand, again, the early action coming in Ochoa. I'm going to actually lean that way as well. I think the bettors are going to get me on this one slightly, but I wouldn't be surprised if Santos does come from behind and maybe pull off of a submission or maybe an early sub as well. So the pick for me, and it's a dog or pass situation even at this point, is Ochoa.
Now dropping down to the atomweight division, we have Laura Huizar, who is 1-0, taking on Carla Almaguer, who is making her professional debut. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how was the public shifted this far?
This was definitely a tough one. Not a lot of information out there on either one of these ladies, so make sure you guys are careful on this one. I opened the line, Huizar minus 150, the comeback on Almaguer plus 110. And again, I'm going to quickly apologize for butchering names out there. We're still getting used to some of these Latin names, so my apologies. But getting into the information, though, again, I opened Huizar minus 150, Almaguer plus 110. The early action coming in on Huizar, she's now minus 180, the comeback on Almaguer is plus 143. What I do know about this fight thus far, I mean, Almaguer making her pro debut, so there's not a lot of information out there on her, but she is a true athlete. She competes in, I mean, a lot of different sports throughout her life. She's more of a judo and Muay Thai practitioner as far as martial arts go. But she is a combat sports vet. I mean, she does well, obviously. She's got a lot of hype behind her. Again, she is making her pro debut, and she lacks true MMA fight experience. But she's going to be game, and she's going to be ready to take on Huizar, which is a very tough fight for your matchup here, your first matchup making your debut. I mean, she's only 1-0, Huizar is, but if you're looking at her debut fight that she won to get to 1-0, it was very impressive. She's an aggressive spark plug. In her debut, she showed a lot of good striking. I mean, really delivering that right, the fight-ending liver kick was amazing. I mean, if you look at that liver kick, how it landed, and it was set up earlier in the fight with her knees to the body. I mean, so Huizar is a very talented fighter. She's a spark club. She's got more pure MMA experience overall. So she is the rightful favorite coming into this spot. But to lay the chalk, again, with the unknowns here against Almaguer, I don't think it's a very good idea. For me, I would sit back personally and just see how this plays out. I think it's going to be an exciting fight. It'll be back and forth because these ladies are going to stand and trade. There's going to be some takedowns. There's going to be a lot of skill exhibited all over the place. I mean, in every aspect of the game here in this fight. But confidently, I can't make a pick here. Obviously, you got to side with the favorite here a little bit more. So I'm going to pick Huizar to get it done. But as far as the betting window goes, I would avoid it. This is a pass for me.
Now moving up to the featherweight division, we have Jair Perez, who is 3-0, taking on Christian Perez, who is 1-0. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I open Yair Perez minus 225, the comeback on Christian Perez plus 175. And this fight, we did see some movement coming in. And again, I got to take my hat off to some of you guys out there. You're not buying into the hype that much. I mean, right now, the current line looking at Don Best is Yair Perez minus 140, the comeback on Christian Perez at plus 110. So people coming in pounding the underdog Perez, Christian Perez, in this spot here. Again, he's 1-0 going against another undefeated fighter in Yair Perez at 3-0. So both these guys are still young, 21 years old for Yair. Christian is 24 years old. So these guys are developing their games again, and they have a lot of fun, man. These are two exciting prospects for sure. So I understand, again, what people are seeing in Christian Perez, because I like what I see. I mean, he's an exciting young prospect. He shows clean striking, good boxing. He's got a huge right hand, and he times it well, and he's very accurate, as you know, on whip. He's got a good kicking game, including his head kicks, and he's very good on the ground. I mean, he attacks with ground and pound, and he transitions well, smooth, with his sub attack. So there's a lot to like. He's 2-0 as an amateur, but again, he's still developing his game. So there's some holes in his game, but there's a lot to like about him. So coming in on the underdog there, again, take my hat off to you guys, because it's definitely intriguing. But getting into Yair Perez, I mean, he fights a lot like his brother, which obviously we all know. Well, some of you guys might not know, but it's Eric Perez, the former UFC vet. So this is his younger brother. He's 21 years old. And of course, we know the talent that Eric Perez had. I mean, he had, you know, kind of a roller coaster UFC career, but you could see overall the kind of potential Eric has and the kind of skill set he has. I mean, his brother Yair is a lot like him, but I think he has bigger advantages, obviously learning from his brother Eric. And Eric has been doing extremely well outside of the UFC, which is great to see. So it's in their blood, basically, with the Perez family. And that's one reason I opened it a little bit higher, to be honest with you, because I thought a lot of the bettors out there would realize this is Eric Perez's younger brother, and the hype factor might kind of come in his way as well. He's had more fights at 3-0 than Christian has, so a little bit more going for him. But I definitely opened it higher than I should have, but I thought it was a public opinion that was going to kind of take it there. So truth being told, the line sitting where it's at right now is definitely a lot better, and it's a lot more fair. Now, I think we will see Yair get up a little bit, so it'll probably close higher than it currently is right now. But still, I think the line should have definitely been closer, and it's a dog or pass situation, because I do believe Christian Perez is going to give Yair Perez everything he can handle here. Back and forth, I mean, these guys will go. Again, getting into Yair a little bit more, maybe I'm not that clear on him yet, but what he has and he brings to the table is pretty good boxing. He has a lot of power in his hands as well. And of course, he's got the wrestling skill set and the takedown ability and the BJJ that his brother has as well. So he's capable of hitting subs even off his back. He has quick arm bars and transitions. So he could be down in a fight and he could turn things around really quickly because he has fight ending ability too. So, I mean, again, this is a battle of serious prospects. This is a great job by Combate putting this fight together. I think it's a no brainer that it's going to be a fun fight to watch. And one of these guys gets the W here is going to take a huge step forward in their career. And the other is honestly still going to have a very successful career, I think. We'll eventually see these guys doing some really big things. My pick as the fight gets bet down has to be with Yair, obviously. I think he is still right now at this point a little bit better than Christian, but I do think it's going to be a fire fight. So if this goes any further, then there's going to be some more value that opens up on Yair Perez, but it is a tough one to bet at this point, because I expect it to be a split decision type of fight if it hits the scorecards, or the finishing potential for either guy is there as well. So my pick, though, personally, is Yair Perez.
Now moving up to the light heavyweight division, we have Elizer Ortega, who is 4-0, taking on LJ Torres, who is making his professional debut. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I open Ortega minus 405. The comeback on Torres at plus 285. Right now, what we're seeing over at Don Best is Ortega's down to minus 335. The comeback on Torres at plus 251. So again, the dog getting bet a little bit. Nothing crazy, though. Nothing like we saw the last fight. So there's two-way action coming in this fight as well. This is going to be a great fight. I mean, Ortega coming in 4-0, and of course, Torres making his professional debut. So again, I mean, that's going to automatically on paper inflate the line a little bit, right? I mean, on paper with a lot of people just looking at Sherdog or whatnot, not really studying the fights and getting into them all that much, that's what they're going to see here. So automatically, Ortega gets a little bit of respect in that aspect of things. But getting into how these guys are, I mean, Ortega's a tough Mexican fighter. I mean, he's got that kind of Mexican blood. He pushes forward with solid hands. He digs to the body, throws kicks, spin kicks as well. Usually likes to work in the clinch. He has good clinch work, and he throws some very solid low kicks to go along with it. He will have some success on the feet, and this eventually will probably get to the ground. And I think that's where he has a path to victory to end it, more so than on the feet, after all the compliments I did give him on the feet. But he does have to be cautious, especially with Torres at this point in his career. I think Torres is going to come in here, obviously, in his pro debut, and he's an extremely long fighter. I mean, he's a striking-based fighter, so that's why Ortega has to be cautious a little bit on the feet. If he gets in a firefight, Ortega definitely has enough power to land some good shots. But again, with Torres' reach and his length and being a, more of a striking-based fighter, I'm not sure Ortega wants to go that route. I think Ortega wants to put this fight to the ground and exploit Torres' weakness at this point, which might be the ground game a little bit here as well. But that said, I think – overall, the ground game of Torres is still a work in progress, but it is a question mark for sure. And I think he's going to be wanting to keep this upright and, again, try to deliver some punishment and knock Ortega out. He's a curious prospect, though, Torres, for sure. And he usually typically fights down, especially obviously his amateur experience. That's what you could look for, and you could kind of study him at this point. He almost seems like he kind of fights to the level of his opponent. So I'm not sure. There's a lot of question marks for me personally on Torres. Again, that's kind of one of the reasons I opened it where I did with Ortega as a solid favorite in this spot. I believe it's right. I think Ortega does get the job done here. Again, as the line starts to drop a little bit more, I think there might be some value in Ortega maybe throwing him a parlay, because I'd be surprised if Torres does pull this off. I just think at this stage where they are, Ortega's just a little bit tougher. I think he is going to get the fight to the floor, and on the floor, he's going to basically be able to get it done and kind of exploit Torres' ground game. So that's the bottom line with this fight. I pick Ortega, and again, you might want to look to throw him in a parlay or two.
Now, dropping down to the flyweight division, we have Alberto Trujillo, who is 3-1. Taking on Edgar Chavez, who is 5-1. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how did the public shift things so far?
Up at Chavez, -230, the comeback on Trujillo at +180. And right now, what you're seeing over at the Don Best screen is Chavez is down to -205, so the comeback on Trujillo is at +161. So another spot where the underdogs get bet a little bit. I think people are dog happy right now in Combate, because I saw some good dogs coming through not too long ago, which is great. I mean, you always want to love an underdog. Obviously, if you're on the chalk, you don't love that. But I'm saying a lot of people are definitely rooting for dogs to come through in fights more times than not, whether you have your money on them or not. So this should be interesting as well. Getting into this fight matchup, though, again, you have Chavez, who is 5-1 as a pro, going against Trujillo, who is 3-1 as a pro. This should be a pretty good fight overall. I'll get into Chavez first here. I mean, he's the favorite, so he's a nasty striker, man. I mean, he's long again for the weight class a little bit at 125 pounds. As a flyweight, he does have some length. He's a nasty striker, clean combinations with power. He has a good clinch game to go along with it. Killer instinct is what I like about him, man. When he smells blood, he goes after it. And again, his kicks, I think, and his knees – I mean, it's all on the money with this guy. You can see he's very accurate. I mean, when he starts flowing and he starts getting into a groove with his striking, man, he's dangerous and he's fun to watch for sure. But he can be put on his back, mainly due to his aggressiveness. And I think that's one of his flaws, of course, at this stage of his career. He's only 23 years old. Again, he's kind of young and one of these guys that's going to be improving all the time. But that could cost him if he does get on put on his back too long. So he's okay offensively with his jiu-jitsu skills as well. It's not really that bad, but I think where it's at for Chavez is definitely him wanting to keep this fight on the feet. He is a finisher. He's also undefeated, I should mention, as an amateur, and it was against decent competition on that level. So he's a Combate homegrown product because he's had most of his fights under that organization as well. So there's a lot to like about Chavez here. Now getting into his opponent and Trujillo, he's small for the division. I mean, obviously, and against this matchup, he's going to be on the shorter end of, you know, as far as length goes. And deal with the tape wise and all that stuff as well. But, he's a strong flyweight. So he's going to make up for it with his attributes. Really, he's a wrestler, grappling based type of fighter. He pushes a very high pace. Really, he tries to grind all his opponents out. His striking is mainly to help him close the distance and get some takedowns and, you know, kind of make this an unruling type of drag out, not having his opponents get off and neutralizing his opponent's skill set more so than anything else. He does have some sneaky good high kicks and some dangerous looping right hands on the feet. So you got to kind of watch out for him. You think, okay, this guy's going to want to take me down and he'll throw a high kick at you. So he's dangerous in that aspect as well. So he could definitely, you know, be a dangerous type of fighter. And the problem with me is though, he can possibly get caught on the way in, obviously, when he's shooting for these takedowns. But overall, I like what I see with Hill. I mean, his amateur record on paper, I believe, was 6-0. And he has a lot of those divisions or a lot of those fights were, by submission or decision as well. So he's experienced overall. I mean, coming in here again with their amateur backgrounds for both of these guys, they're better off than what their current pro, resumes currently indicate. So this is going to be another outstanding matchup. Chavez is going to want to keep it on the feet. Trujillo is going to want to get this to the floor. And whoever really, you know, utilizes their game plan is going to win this fight. I'm going to slightly lean towards Chavez in this fight. Honestly, I think he's just going to be able to possibly control and dictate where this fight goes and beat Trujillo up as it goes on the feet here. So my pick is Charles, but this is another tough one to bet because if Trujillo does get this fight to the ground, then I think he does have a path to victory and he could possibly win this fight. But for me, I'm going to lean towards Charles. So watch where this line goes. If it continues to drop, Charles could be a straight bet or a parlay possibility.
Now dropping down to the women's strawweight division, we have Yajira Romo, who is 5-3, taking on Yasmin Ejarigues, who is 3-0. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I open Jargui -1350, the comeback on Romo +650. Right now, what we're seeing over at Don Best on the screen looks like market price is -800 for Jargui, the comeback on Romo +502. So another spot where dog action came in. And honestly, I wanted to track some dog action for the sportsbooks here spot. So I had to open it sky high. I figured Romo would get bet down, and that's exactly what's going on. Not to the point where it's too bad, because now there's going to be some straight action coming back on Jargui, and we're going to continue to see that. So they're in a good spot, believe it or not, even with the line drop, it's not bad. And it's a good spot to be in because I'm nothing but impressed with Jargui in this spot. I mean, this is exactly why I wanted to keep people off of her and not parlaying her as well and making it at least harder for people to get parlays down with her. She's an impressive young prospect as well. She's 20 years old. She already has a complete MMA game, and it's already been on display. I mean, it's pretty cool if you could look at some of her footage already. The girl's very talented. She's fought a pretty weak level of competition overall, but she's looked great doing so. So it's kind of tough to tell against obviously more solid competition how she is going to look, and this is going to be one of those tests. So again, I can understand people coming in on Romo because Romo's going to be one of the best fighters she's ever faced. But getting back to Jargui a little bit, I mean, she's strong, shows good balance, good takedown defense overall, and offensive defense is wrestling as well. So I think her hands are her money. I mean, she has really good effective boxing. She elbows when she's in a clinch effectively as well. And she's going to be the bully in this spot. She trains at the Entron Gym, the famous gym in Mexico. She's younger, stronger. I think she has way more upside. But again, this is definitely going to be her toughest test by far. But I like what I see in Jargui for sure. Romo, getting it to her, she's not bad. I'm saying all this stuff. And I mean, she's 32 years old, so she's obviously got the mental aspect of the game down a little bit more. I mean, you know, sometimes you would think that younger fighters are a little bit more immature. So she's more mature, we should say, in that aspect of things. Of course, she's more of a, you know, established veteran. She's 6-3, I believe, overall as a pro. So she has more real-time MMA experience. She's not bad on the feet. She's light on the feet. She's a decent striker. She'll outpoint you more than she'll KO you. That's the thing with her. She has got really clean technique, which I like. I mean, so she's not a sloppy fighter at all. And she goes for takedowns and ground control. I mean, that's her path to victory here against Jargue, is honestly getting this fight to the ground. And what I do respect in Romo is every fight that I've watched of her, she comes to fight. I mean, she's definitely one of these girls that's going to give it all and going to perform well. I love her combos. I mean, when she gets in the flow, again, she's one of these fighters that can be very effective at times. And really, the problem is with her, she can be very effective at times. You just don't see enough of it. That's my problem with Romo. And that's what I'm talking about as far as getting bullied here, possibly, by Jargue. And I think that's how the fight's going to go. I think Romo's going to be game, but I just think her offense is going to be neutralized because Jargue is going to be the one that's pushing the pace a little bit more, landing the harder punches. And I think she's probably going to get this fight done before it hits the scorecards. So despite all the compliments and Romo being the toughest test to date, I mean, I do like the chalk here. Honestly, it's hard not to. So as this fight drops, you guys are going to get possibly, you know, openings for parlays here on a huge talked up a favorite. There's football. There's all sorts of stuff going on this weekend, obviously, with the sportsbook, UFC in Mexico as well. So there's a lot of cross parlays that you guys might be able to do with this. So I think the chalk wins here, even though it's a crazy price at -800. Where there's value. So I'm going to pick Jargue to get the win.
Now, moving on to the main event of the evening in the lightweight division, we have Rafa Garcia, who is 10-0, taking on Eric Gonzalez, who is 10-3. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Garcia -1,000, the comeback on Gonzalez at +600. This is an awesome fight. Obviously, it's for the vacant lightweight combate title, so it's for a world title. Very important fight for both these guys here. And I think both deserving. Rafa Garcia is the one that's kind of in the spotlight a little bit more. He's the undefeated pro, 10-0. And he's the one that really has had some buzz around him. I mean, it's been documented. He's training with Cub Swanson from the UFC. He's the one that really is the explosive, powerful wrestler, grinder that just goes out there and finishes people. It looks great doing so in most cases as well. So that's why you're seeing the hype. That's why you're seeing the price outrageous here, because in most cases, he's going to come out there and just run people over. I mean, with his attributes that he has over people, I mean, the guy has very strong wrestling. And once it goes to the ground, the guy gets to work. I mean, he has a sub attack that's ridiculously good. He's got a good ground and pound as well. And then we're seeing as of late too, it's stand-up is no joke, man. He's got some speed. He's got some effective power, and he's just so explosive. I mean, he's a legit prospect. There's no doubt. I think the UFC is going to come knocking on this guy's door soon. I don't know if Kambate is going to be willing to give him up, but man, I mean, this guy is definitely a homegrown, talented Kambate prospect, or not prospect, because I think he's going to be champion this weekend. I mean, he's going to be a world champion. The Kambate kind of, you know, homegrown, build up the talent, so they got to be proud of that, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want to pry Garcia away when it's all said and done. I mean, that's how good and legit this guy is. Now, cardio is a bit of a concern because he does start to slow down. I mean, he's not the perfect fighter as of yet. I mean, he's still 25 years old and he's still going to get better. And if any flaws to his game, I think he does start to slow down as the fight progresses a little bit. So he needs to kind of address that a little bit. But I think overall, sky's the limit for Rafa Garcia. And again, he's going to deliver here. As far as the betting line goes, I should mention that right away. I mean, even the fans out there and the bettors are in agreement. Right now, we're seeing Garcia coming in at minus 1,300. The comeback is plus 691 on Gonzalez. So despite me setting the line so high at 10-1, right now it's 13-1. So it wasn't high enough. And I understand now there is going to be two-way action, of course, at the sports books. A lot of people are going to come in on Gonzalez, and I have a lot of respect for Gonzalez. I'm not trying to disrespect him at all with the line being out there like that, but I just know everybody's going to want to bet Garcia in the spot. That's going to be the popular bet, of course. And I was right about it, right? So Gonzalez, though, on the other hand, is definitely going to be a challenge for Garcia. He's not by any means an easy opponent. This is going to be one of the toughest fights Garcia's ever had in his life, really. Gonzalez is, I like what I see from him, even his social media. The guy's confident. The guy's taking this fight. I think mentally, every way you can, I mean, the best way you possibly can from what I see from the background and hear everything. I mean, so the guy has a good attitude going about things. He's working really hard. And as far as attributes go and his style, I mean, he's listed as a wrestler with kickboxing, and that's kind of what you get with him. I mean, on the feet, he's powerful. He is a southpaw switch type of fighter. So meaning he starts off some fights, he's in, you know, southpaw stance, and he'll switch and give you a different look, which is good on the feet. His kicks are a huge part of his game. I mean, I think that his low kicks, his mid kicks, and his high kicks are what's going to be effective here against Garcia. He's going to have to mix them in carefully, because I think Garcia is going to look to use those kicks and maybe catch one and put him to the ground with his outstanding wrestling. So it's going to be tough for Gonzalez to kind of get those kicks off comfortably, but he will be trying to utilize those effective techniques for sure. Gonzalez also does go for takedowns. He has good double leg takedowns, body locks, good ground and pound. But he's not really a huge threat with this submission game. So even if he gets Garcia down, I think Garcia is going to be able to scramble out of bad spots and eventually get top position and just kind of wear on Gonzalez and get the job done as it possibly goes. So this is another exciting fight. Gonzalez is going to be also the longer fighter here. He's going to have some reach. So he does have some advantages in this fight, no doubt, over Garcia. I mean, he's going to show up and he's going to come to fight. So obviously I'm not going to recommend a bet at minus 1300 for Garcia, not even a parlay, obviously. I mean, if there's no value, there's no value, and there's no current value at this price. I do think Rafa Garcia gets it done. I think the guy is an outstanding fighter, and he does probably finish Gonzalez inside the distance. But unfortunately, at this point, I mean, it's just hard to bet it. I'm not going to lie to you guys out there and steer you the wrong way. So it's a dog pass situation where the current line is. I mean, there realistically is probably some value on Gonzalez at the current price at 691. I mean, plus 700, Gonzalez is better than the current line indicates. But truthfully speaking, I think he's probably going to lose the fight. So I'm not going to recommend a play on him. I think Rafa Garcia is legit, and he's going to get it done. So the pick is Rafa Garcia to be the first ever Kambate World Lightweight Champion.
So that'll do it for our event breakdown for Kambate 43 in Mexicali. Special thanks to BetDSI. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this weekend.